And so fortunately, my wife had worked for Disney as a lifeguard, and so she called some of her lifeguard friends, and we went to the Polynesian Resort, and a few of the guests scooted out of the way for us, and we had the baptism there, and it was a beautiful and wonderful thing. And we have that brotherhood in Christ. And one thing we talk about often is, how can we be equipped for every good work? 2 weeks ago, we had our graduate appreciation lunch after morning worship. It was great to get our 15 graduates together, and a lot of them are going to walk this coming Saturday. Finals, school's over as of last Wednesday. A lot of them are in finals, so definitely come talk to these guys afterwards and give them a prayer, and at least half of them will be coming back for the summer, but not before going home and taking a break for a week or two. So come give them a hug and pray for them to do great on their finals as they finish up school. But those 15 graduates are part of 374 alumni that we have had in Gators for Christ over the last 23 years. That's a lot. You can do the math on average of how many graduates that is, but per year. But it's great to see them doing the Lord's work. I keep up with many of them, and I can tell you unequivocally that many of them are very much plugged into God's power as they serve their families, as they serve their churches around the state and around the country, and for that matter, around the world, and as they serve their communities. And that's the one thing that I want to see more than anything, is our graduates going out to serve God and to serve others, and to not just be the church of tomorrow, but to be the church right now. Amen, church? Talking about being plugged into power, funny thing happened a month ago, and it's usually when I start messing with things in the house because I'm not very good mechanically, but my dad had come up a month ago. He's here today as well, but he'd come up a month ago, and he was helping me replace light switches because our house is about 25 years old. So we were going through the house replacing light switches, but before we did that, I was hitting breaker, small breaker after small breaker, and then I got the genius of ideas to go ahead and click off the main breaker. I was like, you know, this will be okay. I'll just click off the main breaker. It'll be a lot easier than worrying about every little breaker. I see Skip Skipper shaking his head and some others. Yeah, it didn't go well. So after we placed all the light switches, after an hour, and this is hitting about 6 in the evening, I went to hit the main breaker. Not only nothing, but I couldn't even pull the switch over. I'd overloaded the circuit somehow by just knocking out the main breaker. So I called John Dawson, and I don't think John heard the rest of the story, but basically I said, hey, could you give me a few good electricians that you know? And I was like, what's the chances of getting them over here? And Julie had not come home with the girls yet, so she didn't know about the non-power issue. And so John gave me the name of three electricians, and I said, what do you think the chances are of reaching any of them? He's like, not good, Donnie, not good. And even after you reach them, it may be days or weeks before they can come over to fix your issue. I'm like, no. So after calling two of them, the third one, no answer, of course, the third one, I actually reached a cell phone, and that gentleman said, you know, I just happen to be passing your neighborhood right now, because I told him where I lived. I said, would you please pull in and help me? So he did, and we got that power back on, and I got very, very lucky. And he's like, you are very lucky, because I would have not gotten to you probably for a week or so. So anyway, Julie didn't know about that until now. But it's so important to be plugged into power. If you want to get anything done around your house, you have to be plugged into power. If you want to accomplish anything real and lasting in life, you must be plugged into God's power. As Angus read earlier, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 through 17, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the NCAA and college athletics right now, for the last year and a half or so, we've had what's called the NIL, name, image, likeness. And in talking to a lot of you, you're like, not a big fan of NIL. It's basically made everything much more competitive. It's taken the amateur part out of the sports for college athletics, and especially amongst our major sports. And it's tripled the number of those hitting the portal because they want to get paid somewhere for their name, image, and likeness. Now, I tell you who does like it is our college athletes. I remember talking to Trey Dean before he left here in December to start training for the draft, in which he was picked up as a free agent for the New York Jets last night, just in case you were wondering. But in talking to Trey, he's like, I'm a fan of the NIL, you know. And so obviously that's great. Who can blame him? And it's good for our college athletes to some degree. But as far as we go as Christ followers, long before it was introduced in college athletics, we are all about the NIL. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. We are here to honor God's name, image, and likeness. Amen, church? We are here to glorify God, and we are about His name, image, and likeness in everything. When we're plugged into God's power, then we're thoroughly equipped for every good work in Him. You can go ahead and click it for me. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here Peter expounds upon what we just read from Paul to Timothy. And we know that we go out to serve by God's strength and to glorify Him in all things. It's important that we use the gifts God has given us to serve by His strength to serve and glorify Him first and foremost, to serve one another, and to serve the world. Serving one another. I purposefully underline the one here, serving one, at least one. Because sometimes we see the problems of the world, we see the problems of our friends around us, and we look at those and go, it's overwhelming. I don't feel like I can do much to help all of these folks. So what happens? We end up not serving anybody. I challenge you this week to find one person, to find one you can serve. I challenge you this week to find one way to serve the church here. I know there's been a call to help at VBS, and that might be outside your comfort zone, serving all the kids that are going to be here for this summer. But even if it is, maybe that is your calling, to go and to serve, whether it's in your comfort zone or outside your comfort zone, to serve one another and to serve the world, to expand the borders of God's kingdom through serving Him. Here's three ways to do that. And I'm going to pull in some of our alumni into this lesson, since I mentioned them towards the beginning. Number one, be faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to be loyal, to be steadfast in allegiance, and to be reliable. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. This is an action verb, and it means to continue to be constantly learning in God's Word, not just here in Bible class, not just here for a sermon, but for you to be at home with your friends, with your roommates, with your families, to be constantly in God's Word. We read in Luke 16:10 that one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. I feel like there's a 20-80 rule in effect. 20% of those in the church are doing 80% of the work. And what does God expect? What have we been hearing up here for the last few months? that 100% of us need to be all in on God's work. Amen, church? We need to be all in, not 20% doing 80% of the work, but 100% of us using the gifts, talents, and abilities God's given us to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is John and Kate Demery. These are two of our alumni. And back in 2005, I remember meeting John as a sophomore. He came here as a friend of somebody's in our campus ministry, Adam Garner. And I remember John hanging out, and then he met Kate, and he was hanging out with us just a little bit more. And then I had the opportunity to baptize John. And John and Kate, and if you knew him here, and several of you did know them and knew him, you would say he's probably one of the least likely people to go out and serve in a public way, to get up and speak and lead, because he's a little bit shy. But he did get to lead a couple devotionals while he was here as a student. And let me tell you, John and Kate and their family are serving the Lord in tremendous ways in Toledo, Ohio. After doing their wedding, they moved up to Toledo. And then that small Church of Christ that they're at lost their youth minister. So they asked John and Kate, after they had just had kids, if they would like to help serve in helping run the youth ministry. And they volunteered to do that. They've helped introduce lads to leaders into their church body there. And then recently they lost their preacher and they asked John if he'd like to preach and rotate with two other guys. And they did it in such a way that was very Donnie Dillon-esque. They had said, hey, here's the two other guys. You're going to help serve with them. Is that okay? I don't even know if they asked him if that was okay, but he is now on a rotating team of preaching at that church. And so it's great to see their faithfulness in the Lord play out in such a beautiful way for their church and for their community in Toledo, Ohio. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. There's a lot of things that we can be successful at, but what really matters and what's going to carry us on into eternity? It's so important that we not major in the minors, but that we major in the things that God has intended through His Word for us to do, to glorify Him and to expand the borders of His kingdom to others in our community. You can advance it, Matt. The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. It's important that we have the mindset of glorifying God and fearing Him with a healthy fear, not a fear that's driven by anything, but by love for Him and wanting to serve Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Next, we need to be available. And I've defined this as ready for use, accessible, and responsive at someone's call for help. As the prophet Isaiah says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. To be responsive at someone's call for help, I think of another one of our alumni. I think of Giovanni Ruiz, who when I came into the campus ministry in 2001, he was actually just getting ready to graduate, but he stayed on for his master's and then finally left us in 2003, but not before he went on the first Honduras mission trip with us. And since that first Honduras mission trip, I believe he's been on every single one of them since then that we've done in person in Honduras. And it's great to see him serve. Well, he called our campus ministry about 4 or 5 months ago and said, hey, during spring break, we have needs in Tampa. We'd love for you guys to come help and serve. We have a lot of service projects we'd like to get done, but we don't have a lot of manpower to do it. So he called our availability out. So we took 15 of our students during spring break to help with some of those service projects, and they did a fantastic job of answering that call and answering that need in Tampa, Florida, to help the church there serve not only members of their church, but also serve the community around them. Make availability a priority in your life. I think oftentimes this is one area I sometimes struggle with. I mean, I'm doing the Lord's work constantly here as a full-time minister, but sometimes we go home, we just want to relax, let our hair down. Well, not me, but we want to just sit, watch Netflix, and not be bothered sometimes when we go home in the evenings. But it's so important that we, if we know there's a need out there, to make ourselves available for that need. Your stage of life should not determine if you serve. It should only clarify where and how you serve. I was just talking with Julie this morning, and she was mentioning that it's so important that we realize that, and this was an answer in our Bible class upstairs in the college room. Her answer was basically that we're going to be serving in different ways, in different capacities throughout our lives. It's just important that we continue to make ourselves available to serve no matter where we're at in life. Let me give you a great example. We've had some wonderful saints of ours pass on this past year, and it's just been hard to see so many deaths, but at the same time, we know where they're at. And I know Jeannie White, when I went to go visit her in her last month in the nursing home, she was still finding ways to serve, crafting, and she was also talking with the nursing staff, and a nurse came up to me and said, you know, she told me about Jesus. And I was like, that's wonderful. And this is her on her deathbed in her last month in the nursing home across the way by the mall. I know having breakfast with George Fletcher a month before he passed, he was talking about the ways he still found to serve the church here in small ways and in some big ways. And then even Ron McQuinn, a week before he passed, he was down here in his office, and I thought he might be clearing out some things to go rest at home. Instead, he was down there meeting somebody to give them counsel, to give them hope, to give them love. And he was only a week away from passing from cancer. Find a way to serve and do it today if you're not already. When I think of available, I think of the Giles. I think of Aaron and Marissa Giles, two more of our alumni. And I remember when they met 7 or 8 years ago or so, they met in our campus ministry, but they met in an unconventional way. We had a softball team of 12 or 13 guys, and they also wanted to do a co-rec team because we had 4 girls that were interested in playing co-rec softball. Now, for co-rec softball, you need 5 guys, which we had plenty of guys to play, but we needed 5 girls. And I remember Brooke Lucas, one of Marissa's best friends, asking around, no such luck in getting that 5th girl, even though we had 30 or 40 girls in the ministry, to play softball with us. So she and I together went to Marissa and said, hey, will you play softball with us? And she was like, no way. I know what you're trying to do. There's no chance of us playing softball, or no chance of me playing softball. But we hammered away at her for the better part of a week before that first game, and she ended up coming out. And it's a good thing she did, because she met her future husband there. Aaron was not a Christian, but Aaron was playing softball with us through a friend, and we invited Aaron to church, and it helped that they met, because he started coming a little bit more. And then just a year and change later, Aaron was baptized, and now they are a beautiful couple serving the New Smyrna Beach Church of Christ. Since their marriage a couple of years ago, they've been down there for 2 or so years. And when they went, there was one child in Bible classes, one. I think there was one child in maybe the whole church. And now this is them working on their faith city, getting some ideas from here and carrying it down there. And they now have 7 children just a year or so later after starting this project. And I know in talking to Marissa just a little bit ago, they're interested in getting Lads to Leaders started there and doing some other wonderful projects. And they have made themselves available in a church where they could have just said, you know what, it's a little small here, we'll go find something else. Instead, they've plugged in and they've got some other young married couples to plug in with them, and they're doing wonderful work for the Lord there. Thirdly, training in righteousness. I define this as willing to learn, receive instruction and correction in being equipped for every good work. But there must be a willingness to learn. Here's my example here. We've got, of those 374 alumni, 35 of them are members of the church here. So 10% have stayed here in Gainesville post-college. And some of them started our Young Marrieds group together. So they called themselves the Young Marrieds with No Kids 3 years ago. Well, that's changed. They are now introducing their third kid into the group. And they have been faithful in meeting every other Tuesday, doing the same curriculum we've been doing for our Sunday night small groups. But they've been meeting every other week. Even when we're not meeting, they're meeting every other Tuesday, and they've been doing that for 3 years, and they've been doing a wonderful job. And they're finding ways to, they had me, they've had Mark, they've had others come into their group to just share with them, and so that they feel like they're equipped for training in righteousness and to find even more ways to serve our church together. Proverbs 16:20 says this, "Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." And that's very much what they are doing. Faithful, available, and training in righteousness. Faithful. Being faithful makes it possible for others to trust you with more opportunities. Available. Being available makes it possible for people to depend on you. The more you make yourself available, the more people are going to depend on you, and the more opportunities you're going to have to serve and to bring others as well into service for the Lord. And training in righteousness. And this is where I'm going to talk about, just for a minute or two, some of our wonderful alumni here at this church and what they're doing. Up in the top corner is Kay and Benita and Katie, three of our alumni. And I know, along with Caroline, sorry, I couldn't find a picture of all four of you together. But they are doing a Wednesday night ladies' Bible class that they built a year and a half ago with just the four of them. And they have 20, 30 or more ladies sometimes that come to that, singles, moms, others, that are part of that wonderful work that they've built together. And they're continually training in righteousness together so that they can help train the ladies in righteousness. Ashley Sloan, she has helped one of our alumni from 2004. It was great to see her marry Luke and have just such a wonderful family and stay plugged in here. And I don't know if you realize this or not, it was much easier for them to live in Orlando, Florida, but they stayed here because of the church family right here. He works as a firefighter in Orange County in Orlando, so he travels back and forth to Orlando every third day for work. And so they do a wonderful job together as a couple, and Ashley helped organize our VBS a couple of times the past couple of years, as well as helping with our Lads to Leaders program and doing a wonderful job. And then Carl Horton, who's back there waiting for me to finish with about 30 kids. Carl is also, besides helping be deacon with our Faith City and with our children's ministry, he is helping with our small groups and finding different ways to serve the children and to serve the Lord. And he's constantly training in righteousness. Next. Chris and Candace Suggs, besides being our announcements guy on a rotation, Chris and Candace have served our kids' ministry in different capacities throughout the years. And up until he just had a baby, he was helping me as one of the teachers rotating into our campus ministry class. In the bottom corner there is Tony and Melissa Sear with their wonderful family. They have served in our children's ministry as a deacon there, and then they're serving as deacon and as a family with our Lads to Leaders program. We've got Johnny and Sarah Bell, who stayed here. Johnny stayed here after graduation, met Sarah. They're a wonderful couple that do so many things, and I know he's currently teaching a Sunday morning class, one of our three adult classes. And of course, we have Josh Mann, one of our graduates from Gators for Christ in 2013, and I'm glad he's come back around, and he's doing a wonderful job with his wife and family and serving the youth ministry here. And then most recently, we've had Virginia Boone, who is serving in missions, and something that she did as an internship, and I know Rachel Horton, one of her best friends, one of her students here, gave up a semester of working here and basically helping her with the mission trip. And she just recently got back last week from Surfing the Nations and their mission work in Hawaii. But she's full-time there doing that wonderful work in a very beautiful place. And then the guy with the fish there, that's Sterling Anderson. He has found ways to continue to build our service to the community. In fact, we've done 20 service projects just this semester alone, and Sterling helped organize several of them, and I know he's going to be doing the Appalachian Trail before he starts work in the fall. This summer he's going to be walking that Appalachian Trail, but he, with that servant heart, I know he's going to find ways to serve even there in the remotest of places. And then Stephen English is there in the middle. He has not graduated yet. He is not one of our alumni. But I wanted to point out Stephen because he's one of several that get up here, and he's song-led for us at least once a month, and then also had the opportunity to preach here on a Sunday night and lead a couple of Bible classes, and he has and done such a wonderful job, as has several of our students. So here's the final question for you. Whether you're a student, whether you're 9, or whether you're 90, which of these is problematic for you? Is it being faithful? Is faithfulness just showing up here at the building once a week or twice a week? Or is faithfulness so much more in your life that you're carrying out servants for the Lord? Are you making yourself available to God and to others? And are you continually training in righteousness in His Word? And if you look at that list, you identify the one or a couple that you might be struggling with at any given time, give that to God and let Him help determine your steps in being faithful, available, and continually training in righteousness. Will you commit to finding a place to expand serving the Lord in 2023 amongst the Lord's body, in our community, and on into the world? I hope so. I pray so. If you need the prayers of our church family, or if you'd like to come up for any other reason, please do so now as we stand and as we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good?